ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नास्तिप्रायस्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवते उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 3 चैप्टर 28 Verse 44. Chapter titles Krishna's instruction on the execution of devotional service. Tashmad imam swam prakritim.
Tashmad imam swam prakritim.
Tashmad imam swam prakritim.
Tashmad imam swam prakritim.
Daivim sadasad atmikam.
Daivim sadasad atmikam.
Daivim sadasad atmikam.
Daivim sadasad atmikam.
Durvibhavyam parabhavya.
Durvibhavyam parabhavya.
Durvibhavyam parabhavya.
Durvibhavyam parabhavya.
Swarupena vatishtitaye.
Swarupena vatishtitaye.
Svarupena vatishtate.
Svarupena vatishtate.
Tashmadimam svam prakritim.
Tashmadimam svam prakritim.
Daivim sadasad atmikam.
Daivim sadasad atmikam.
Durvibhavyam parabhavya.
Durvibhavyam parabhavya.
Svarupena vatishtate.
Svarupena vatishtate.
Own. Prakritim, material energy, Daivim, divine, Sat Asad Atmikam, consisting of cause and effect, Durvibhavyam,
difficult to understand,
Parabhavya, after conquering, Swarupena,
in the
self-realized
position,
Avastitire.
Avastitire.
He remains.
Remains.
Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Thus the yogi can be in the self-realized position after conquering the insurmountable spell of Maya, who presents herself as both the cause and effect of this material manifestation and is therefore very difficult to understand. Please repeat. Thus the yogi
can be in the self-realized position
after conquering
the insurmountable spell of Maya,
who presents herself
as both the cause and effect
of this material manifestation
and is therefore
very difficult to understand. It is stated in Bhagavad Gita that the spell of Maya, which covers the knowledge of the living entity, is insurmountable. However, one who surrenders on to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, can conquer this seemingly insurmountable spell of Maya. Here also it is stated that the Daivi Prakriti or the external energy of the Supreme Lord is Durvibhavya, very difficult to understand and very difficult to conquer. One must, however, conquer this insurmountable spell of Maya, and this is possible by the grace of Lord when God reveals himself to the surrendered soul. It is also stated here, Swarupena avatishtate. Swarupa means that one has to know that he is not the Supreme Soul, but rather part and parcel of the Supreme Soul. That is self-realization. To think falsely that one is the Supreme Soul and that one is all-pervading is not Swarupa. This is not realization of his actual position. The real position is that one is part and parcel. It is recommended here that one remains in that position of actual self-realization. In Bhagavad Gita, this understanding is defined as Brahman realization. After Brahman realization, one can engage in the activities of Brahman as long as one is self-realized. He engages in activities based on false identification with the body. As long as one is not self-realized, he engages in activities based on false identification with the body. When one is situated in his self-realized, in his real self, then the activities of Brahman realization begins. The Mayavad philosophers say that after Brahman realization, all activities stop, but that is not actually so. If the soul is so active in its abnormal condition, existing under the covering of matter, how can one deny its activity when free? An example may be cited here. If a man in his diseased condition is very active, how can one imagine that when he is free from the disease, he will be inactive? Naturally, the conclusion is that when one is free from all the disease, his activities are pure. It may be said that the activities of Brahman realization are different from those of conditioned life, but that does not stop activity. It is indicated in Bhagavad Gita 18.54. After one realizes oneself to be Brahman, devotional service begins. Mad bhaktim labhate param. After Brahman realization, one can engage in the devotional service of the Lord. Therefore, devotional service of the Lord is activity in Brahman realization. For those who engage in devotional service, there is no spell of Maya, and their situation is all perfect. The duty of living entity as part and parcel of the whole is to render devotional service to the whole. That is the ultimate perfection of life.
Om Agnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tashmay Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Pitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarobhyasya Kripasindhubhayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadhadhar Srivasadi Gora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare
Hare Read the translation again. Thus the yogi can be in self-realized position after conquering the insurmountable spell of Maya, who presents herself as both the cause and effect of this material manifestation and is therefore very difficult to understand. So today's class I have broken it down into three parts. The first part is, since it talks about Maya, what is this Maya Shakti? So this is the end of this chapter. This is the last verse in this chapter where Kapil Muni is instructing Devahuti. So we will first understand what is our position in this material world. How did we come into this material world? The second part is, what is Maya? We'll try to understand how Maya works. And the third part of the class, we will try to understand how to overcome Maya. So first of all, what is our position? Where are we in this material world? So I'd like to give you an example. Like, suppose if there is a building, why it is important to understand why are we, whatever position we are in, why are we in this position? So suppose if there is a building, if one of the floor, if it is a skyscraper building, 50 floor building, right, one of the floor catches fire. Why do all the people in that building run away if only one floor has got a fire, catches fire? Why is it that the whole building starts to run or evacuate the building? Because there is a fire alarm. So as soon as there is a fire, the fire alarm goes off and the whole building is evacuated, regardless of whichever floor is has the fire on, because it can cause danger to all the other people as well. So similarly, we have to understand this place. This place is not a place where there is happiness or enjoyment. This place has been given a name. Every morning we sing prayers, Guru prayers, right? Guru Ashtakam. What is it mentioned in this? Samsara, Dhavanala, Lida. What is Dhavanala means?
Blazing fire.
This samsara. So this place, this material place where we are, is the place of blazing fire, forest fire. And whenever there is a forest fire, the best thing to do is not to analyze how the fire came in place. The best thing is to do is evacuate the place, evacuate the forest. So we are into this position. And it is mentioned, Maya makes us forgetful of our real identity. And there are two things that Maya does, is makes us forgetful of our real identity, and second is infuses fear in us. So when you are in this position where you are fearful, how many people feel they are very fearful here? Right now? Is it a fearful place?
No,
right? We don't feel, if we are fearful, we would have run away from here, right? To some place where we can find shelter or security. But we are not feeling any fear here. Then why is it mentioned? Maya makes us, infuses fear in us. So Narottam is raising his hand. So why are we feeling, why is it mentioned that Maya infuses? So we'll try to understand how Maya works. One of the analogies I would like to give is, when a son is enjoying father's property, does he feel fearful? No. But if a thief is enjoying someone else's property, does he feel fearful? He feels fearful, right? So this is the thing, like when a devotee is in the material world, he does not feel fearful because he knows this property belongs to his father. But when there is a thief, it infuses fear in them. So we might not, or maybe in the material world, when we ask these people whether you are fearful or not, they will say, no, what is there to fear? We have got all this security in place. We have got alarms. We have got fire alarm. We have got theft alarm. We have got insurances. We have got bank balance. We have got security guards. All of them are there to protect us. What is there to be fearful? So this is the role of Maya Devi, and we'll try to understand a bit more in detail. So before that, we'll try to understand how did we come into this. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya 20.117, it is mentioned, Krishna bhulise jiva anadi bahir mukha ateva maya tare deya samsara dukha. So Krishna bhulise jiva. So as soon as one forgets Krishna, there is a desire which develops in his heart to enjoy this material. As soon as Krishna bhulise jiva anadi bahir mukha, as soon as one sees away from Krishna, the desire to enjoy the material objects arise in his heart. And ateva maya tare deya samsara dukha, and as soon as that happens, Maya Devi starts giving trouble. He falls into this material world. Kabe swarga uthaya, kabe narka dubaya, dande jane raja yena nadite chubaya. So sometimes he goes into the swarga, kabe swarga uthaya. This Maya Devi takes him to the swarga loka, gives him all the opulence, gives him all the facilities, where he becomes very happy, he feels he is very happy. Kabe narka dubaya. So sometimes the Maya Devi puts him into the situation which is really miserable. Like it is explained, like the kings used to punish the criminals, they used to put their head into the river for a few minutes and then bring the head out of the river for a few seconds and again put it back into the river. So this is the kind of punishment the kings used to give to the criminals. So what happens in that situation? When the head is under water, it becomes really difficult to breathe, and he is suffering, the criminal is suffering. And then when the head is brought out of the river of water for a few seconds, he feels what a relief, because he can breathe. And that relief he feels, it is happiness. So that is the role of Mayadevi. It makes one feel. So really the happiness in this material world is the absence of misery. So there is a very nice verse, it is mentioned in Bhagavatam 11th canto, 2nd chapter, verse 37, which explains the purport and the verse of today. So I'll just quote that. It is mentioned, Bhayam dviti abhineveshita syat ishad apetashya viprayayo smriti tan maya yato buddha abhijetam bhakti yai keshyam guru devat atma. So the first two lines of this verse explains what happens when one is captured into the material energy or material world. And the second two lines explain how one can get out of this material world. It explains, Bhayam dviti abhineveshita syad. Bhayam. So the first thing that happens into this material world is Bhayam. So Bhayam is fear. Abhineveshita dvitya. Dvitya means once one tries to enjoy something which is separate from Krishna. Once one try to enjoy without Krishna. Viti abhineveshita. So if one becomes abhineveshita, it means he becomes absorbed into that thing. Ishad apateshya. Ishad is Krishna. Ishwara. Apateshya, it turns away from Krishna. Viprayayo smriti. Viprayayo is he misidentifications. He thinks he is this body. He forgets his real identity. Smriti. Smriti means his intelligence is lost. His memory is lost. And now, the second two lines explain how one can overcome this situation. Tan maya yato buddha abhijetvam. So, tan means tat, means the Lord himself. Maya yato, this illusory energy of the Lord. Buddha abhijetvam, one can overcome. Bhaktai kesham guru devatatma. So with love and devotion, bhaktai kesham, only to Krishna, and by the instructions of Guru Devatatma. So by following the instructions of Guru, spiritual master, and considering him as good as Lord himself. So by this process one can overcome Maya. So another thing is, we have to understand how did we come. So people ask, if Prabhupada has mentioned sometimes like nobody falls from this, from the spiritual, once one goes to spiritual world, nobody falls down. And so this question arises, like we were in spiritual world at one point, so how did we fall down into this material world? So the answer given here is, we will answer this question at the end of the class as well, but quickly we'll mention here is, actually there is no fall down. One does not fall down into the material world. But again, one is covered. Ai nanda tanuj, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also mentions, Ai nanda tanuj kinkaram, patitam mam vishame bhavam buddho. So one becomes fallen. One becomes fallen and comes to under the illusion of Mayadevi. So that's a very nice story actually I can explain. Or we'll just cover this and we'll explain. So there are two kinds of living entities. One is Shara and the other is Akshara. So Akshara are the living entities who never fall down. And Shara are the living entities who are bound to fall down. They sometimes appear to fall down. So these living entities are, sometimes they develop a desire to be separate from Krishna. And then those living entities come under the spell of Maya. Punarapi Janma, Adi Shankaracharya mentions this verse. Punarapi Janma, Janam, Jananam, Punarapi Maranam, Punarapi Janani Jathare Sayanam. So one when comes into this material world, he takes birth again and again. So there are different analogies given for material world. One of the analogies is samsara sagara. So this material world is the ocean of, samsara karagra. Karagra means a prison house. And then another is bhavsagara. This material world is a bhavsagara, the place where birth and death take place, ocean of birth and death. Then bhavakupa, kupa means well, a dark well of birth and death. Then bhava athavi, so this is a tree of material existence. Samsara dhavanala, like the forest fire. And mithunisagara, the ocean of lust or attachment. So these are the different analogies given to this material world. So there is a very nice story regarding this. Rishabhdev in 5th canto mentions Pumsastriya mithuni bhavam etam tayor mithu hriday granthi ahu ato griha kshetra sutapta viter janasya mohayam aham mameti. So he is instructing, Rishabhdev is instructing his sons, and he is saying Pumsastriya mithuni bhavam etam. So the attachment between a boy and the girl is the main cause for one's existence into this material world. Tayor mithu hriday granthim. Hriday granthim, it's like a knot which is very difficult to overcome. And Narad Muni went to Lord Narayan and asked him, I have just been from this material world, and in this material world I have seen this energy which is very powerful. Can you please explain? Lord Narayan, please explain, how does this material energy work? And Lord Narayan said, okay, I've been working whole day, so let's go for a walk and I'll explain it to you how this material energy or Maya works. And so they go for a walk and they're passing through beautiful forest, pathways, nice, beautiful sceneries there. And then Narad Muni feels very blissful in that atmosphere. And then he had a desire to, he felt thirsty. So he's asking Lord Narayan, I'm feeling a bit thirsty. Is there any water nearby? And Lord Narayan said, yeah, there is a river just close by. You can go and drink water. I'll stand here. So Narad Muni goes there, and when he gets to the river, he's about to drink water, and there is a villager who comes and shouts, Oh, Narad Muni, what are you doing? And Narad Muni said, I'm just drinking water from this river. And he said, Narad Muni, this is not appropriate that you drink directly from the river. My hut is just close by. You come to my hut and I'll give you water. You can sit, take a asana, and I'll properly serve you. And Narad Muni said, it's not a bad idea, I think. We can go to his hut, it's just close by, so we can sit and drink water. So he went to this villager's hut. They are sitting there, and then this villager had a young daughter. And he asked the daughter, please get water for Narad Muni, and please fan Narad, serve Narad Muni. He's such an elevated Vaishnava, so we should serve him. So, and he told Narad Muni, it's not appropriate that you come to our place and you just take water. Let me bring some fruits from the forest, and then we can serve you properly. And Narad Muni said, okay, I'm a bit hungry also. So, okay, I'll have some, accept some fruits also from you. So this villager goes out and he instructs his daughter to properly serve. Please fan Narad Muni and look after Narad Muni. So this villager goes, and while the daughter is serving Narad Muni, they both felt attraction towards each other. And when they felt attraction, the villager comes back after a while. Narad Muni expresses his desire that I want to marry your daughter. And this man, old villager, thought, oh, this is such a nice proposal. My daughter being married to such a big rishi. So I'll be blessed by this proposal. So he arranges marriage for Narad Muni and his daughter. So they both get married, and then Narad Muni is helping this villager to farm and looks after the farm, and they work, and slowly the time passes. Meanwhile, remember, Narayan is still standing in the forest, right? So he completely forgets Lord Narayan, and he is serving his father-in-law and wife, and after a while they have a son, and Narad Muni is having this family, and he's looking after the farm daily, he's farming and looking after family. He's engrossed completely, forgets Lord Narayan. And one day, while they were husking, so in the wheat paddy, they separate the wheat from the husk. So he and his wife are husking the wheat paddy. And they heard a noise. His son was crawling and they heard a noise. So the wife said, I heard something. So their house was near the river, as we already know. So they heard a noise and wife thought, oh, I heard some noise. Probably our son must have fallen into the river. And Narayana said, no, it can't be. The son won't go that far. So the wife said, no, let me check. So wife goes to look at the son, and the son had fallen into the river. And wife went to save the son, and wife also fell down into the river. And there was a big noise now, because the wife also fell into the river. And Narad Muni heard that, and Narad Muni also rushed out. Something must have happened. So Narad Muni, when he saw the son and wife both are drowning into the river, Narad Muni also ran to save them, and he still had this veena. So he's putting the veena into the river to save the son and wife, and they are trying to hold on to it, and Narad Muni also slipped into the river. So all three of them slipped into the river, and Narad Muni, because he was used to chanting Narayan before, he had completely forgotten. But when this situation came, where he was miserable, by natural propensity, he just shouted, Narayan, Narayan. And as soon as he shouted that, Lord Narayan patted on his back, and he was still standing next to Lord Narayan. And he said, Lord Narayan said, now you understand how Maya works. So actually the whole pastime happened in illusion. There was not really no wife, no villager, no river. But it was just started with a desire. What was that desire? Sorry? Thirst. So as soon as one comes into the material world, just to quench his thirst, the whole family life happened, right? So in spiritual world, it's not like no one gets thirsty, but there is no desires, like to enjoy separately. So because of that desire to satisfy his thirst, what did Narad Muni do? Left the association of Lord Narayan. And that one desire brought him into the samsara chakra. He felt blissful. So now we will try to understand how does Maya, based on the story, we'll try to understand what is Maya and how it works. So when we say Maya, what do we mean by Maya? What is the meaning of Maya? We know all that. Yes. Illusory energy of the Lord. So it is good or bad? Sorry? It's both. It's? Sorry? Good and bad. Yeah, it's both. So Acharya has mentioned Maya is Shakti of the Lord. It is also desire as the Icha. Desire of the Lord. So these are different definitions mentioned in the Shastras for Maya. And Maya also means Swarupa Shakti, or the internal potency of the Lord. And Maya also refers to Paratrana, or the cheating propensity. Maya also means Kripa, mercy of the Lord. And Maya means, we think ignorance, but Maya also means knowledge or Jnana. Maya means deceit, Dambha. Maya means intelligence, knowledge and intelligence both. So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentions, quotes this Maya many times actually. One of the verses, Naham Prakasha Sarvashya Yoga Maya Smavrata. And in next, one of the verses, Krishna mentions, Ajo apisan avyatma bhutanam ishvara apisam prakritim swam adhishtaya sambhavami atma mayaya. Atma maya means Lord incarnates by his own desire, atma maya, his own will. So trying to understand this word maya, maya can be broken down into two forms. What are the two forms? We all know. That's right. Yoga maya and Mahamaya. So yoga maya is the Swarup Shakti or internal potency. Chit Shakti of the Lord. It is the internal. Internal means Antaranga Shakti. Whereas, and Yoga Maya has got three components. Ladini Shakti, Samvit Shakti and Sandini Shakti. Ladini Shakti is the pleasure potency. Samvit Shakti is the intelligence or knowledge potency. And Sandini Shakti is the eternality of the spiritual world. So this Yoga Maya is acting in the spiritual world. And this Yoga Maya and Mahamaya are are considered to be the two sides of the same coin. So they are almost similar, but one should know how to use them. So it is explained, an expert electrician can use the same electricity to heat up a place or to cool down a place. So a devotee can deal with Yoga Maya or Maha Maya in the same way, does not treat them as good or bad. It is always, it is the energy of the Lord, so it cannot be bad. So, but we will mainly focus how Mahamaya works. So Mahamaya is divided now into, so first Maya is divided into Yoga Maya and Mahamaya. And now we'll focus more on Mahamaya, which is our topic today. So Mahamaya has got divided into two. One is Jiva Maya and Guna Maya. And now this Jiva Maya is divided into again two parts. So it has got two different ways it acts. One is Avaranatmika Shakti and Prakshepatmika Shakti. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, Devi Eshe Gunamayi Mama Maya Duratya. So then the second part is Gunamaya. So we'll explain a little bit later. But this Duratya means impossible. These two Shaktis in material world, Avaranatmika Shakti and Prakshepatmika Shakti, are very difficult to overcome. So what is their role? How do they act? So Avaranatmika Shakti, as soon as the living entity has a desire to enjoy separately from Krishna, this Avaranatmika Shakti covers the living entity. How does the living entity get covered? He covers the intelligence of the living entity. Avaranatmika Shakti. Avaran means to cover. And this Mahamaya in Avaranatmika Shakti covers the intelligence of the living entity. So what is the intelligence? What is knowledge? That we are spirit soul and we are servant of the Lord. So as soon as that knowledge is covered, our relationship with the Lord is covered. And we fall down into, we consider this body as our self. So this is Avaranatmika Shakti, how it works. It covers our relationship and our real identity, Swarupa, is covered. So we don't know, we go through many lives in this material world, but we don't come to know what is our real identity, that we are spirit soul. So one forgets his, this Avaranatmika Shakti makes one forget his constitutional position in the spiritual world. So then as soon as one is covered, this Prakshepatmika Shakti comes into play. So what does this Prakshepatmika Shakti do? It diverts one attention from Krishna to material objects. So one feels, so I'll give you an example of a child. If a small child is crying, what does one do? And suppose you are asked to look after a child and the mother has gone out. What will you do? So there are two things you have to do before the child starts crying or to make the child stop crying. The first thing is you have to make him forget that his mother has gone. And the second thing is engage him in such a thing that he does not remember his mother. So first you will take him away, give him something, some toys or something. So the child becomes so much engrossed in that toy that he thinks, like if there is a small girl, then she will play with doll for hours. The mother gives a doll so that she can cook, right? Or the son plays with cars or something, right? So they become engrossed. They think this thing is real and they try to play with it. So this is what Prakshepatmika Shakti does. It gives us all these toys and makes us believe that these toys are going to give us some pleasure. So that we can forget Krishna. So Avaranatmika Shakti covers and Prakshepatmika Shakti gives us all these toys, facilities, so that we can forget Krishna. Because without these two things, we cannot survive into this material world. Without forgetting Krishna and without having objects to have relationship. Because the whole purpose of our existence is to have some relationship, some rasa, some exchange. If we cannot get any exchange from any object, we cannot survive. And actually, when this Prakshepatmika Shakti makes us believe that these objects are all going to give us happiness, we tend to extract rasas from that. We try to build relationship. A small child has got some relationship with a small toy, car toy, or a girl tries to exchange some rasa from a doll. She speaks to the doll for hours. But what happens? Does the doll respond after even hours of speaking? Or does the car give any pleasure? No, after a while they become frustrated and they throw the doll and they want a new doll. That's why most of the parents, if you go to their houses, they've got big range of toys. Why? Because we know kid plays with one toy for a while and then leaves it. He never touches that toy again. So he wants another toy. He wants another toy. Because those things, the kid does not have the intelligence that these are non-living things. They cannot have the relationship. So when they try to extract rasas from those relationship, it does not work from the toys. So they give up those toys and they want another toy. As soon as they go into supermarket, they want another doll, another car. Because they keep on becoming frustrated with each and every toy. So similarly, us also, this Prakshepatmika Shakti is trying to give all these objects, put these objects in front of us. And we think, this model of the car will give me pleasure. This model of the car will give me pleasure. But after a while, what happens? Anybody had an experience of getting a new car? A second-hand car, but new for themselves? What happens when you get a new car? First time when you are driving that car, you feel a bit of joy, right? You feel proud. Oh, this such a nice car I'm driving. The first time you drive a car, you drive it for 1 day, 2 day, 1 month, 2 months, 6 months, 1 year. What happens after a year? The same car which made you, even though it is a 10-year-old car, but it was a brand new car for you, right? The new car for you. It gave you pleasure the first day. After a year, that car, I need something new. That you don't get the same kind of enjoyment from that car anymore. You want a new car. So the same thing happens. Avranatmika Shakti and Prakshepatmika Shakti makes you. So this Prakshepatmika Shakti is the one which gives you that sense of hope that this is going to give me pleasure. So this is how this two energies work. So, and now we will go on to the, so this was part of a Jiva Shakti, Jiva Maya. And now the second part of the Maya is Guna Maya. So Krishna says, Devi hi esha Guna Mayi. So this second Guna Maya consists of three Mayas, three Shaktis, Sattva, Raja and Tama. So Guna Maya is divided into this three, and the role of this Guna Maya is to make this make you happy in whatever situation you are in. So Guna Maya makes you feel whatever you are eating, whatever you are doing, whatever you are thinking is the best. You are the center of existence. So this is the role of Guna Maya. There is a nice pastime Vaishnava Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj went to Rangoon, and he was cooking a feast for the people there, and those people were tribal groups. So when he was cooking a feast with pure ghee, the smell of ghee was so strong that the people of Rangoon could not tolerate it, because they had never seen or smelt ghee before. So when he was cooking in ghee, they actually thought like, this person is going to burn something. This person is going to destroy us. So they actually came and revolted. And then they had a feast and they were cooking all the animals and the blood of the animal and all these fats of different animals and liquids from the animals. They were cooking and boiling that. And the smell of that, they were feeling it's blissful. So this is the situation, the condition. So the Guna Maya makes, depending on what gun one is in, Rajo, Sattva or Tamo, he feels that he is in the best position. He likes the desires of his are tinted by those gunas. So he feels whatever he is doing, so it makes him enjoy whatever situation he is in. And so this is the role. And all these mayas that we have heard, they all work cooperatively to make one feel this place is the most comfortable place. This place is the place. So that is why we don't feel fear. That is why we ask any of the people outside, they will never feel fear of this material world. Because this mayas are working cooperatively in making one thing, this is the most comfortable place, as Narad Muni was feeling. This place is good. He was doing, before he was chanting Narayan, Narayan, and he did not have any desire for thirst and food. But then he had all these desires and he was working hard in the paddy field. But he was still feeling it is a blissful place. So this is how this material world works and this maya works. And the pleasure in this material world, so there are two kinds of pleasure. One is less suffering, and there is no suffering. So when one goes through less suffering, he thinks he is happy. There is happiness. And when one goes through no suffering, then he is thinking it is Brahmananda. Brahmananda means eternal happiness. So eternal happiness for a living entity in material world is no suffering. So that is the condition. It's like there is an analogy given of a donkey. So what does a washerman do? He puts all the load on the donkey and ask him to walk to the river. But the donkey does not move. Then he puts a rod which is 1 foot ahead and puts a carrot in front of the rod. So the donkey thinks, oh, I can eat that carrot, it's so nice. And he starts walking. And the carrot also moves always one step ahead. And he runs to get the carrot, and he goes to the river. So this is how the donkey runs, just looking at the carrot. And then evening the same thing happens when the washerman wants to come back. He puts a carrot again, and then the donkey runs for the carrot. There is grass everywhere, but the donkey is still thinking there is a hope. So this is the hope that Maya gives. That one day I'll become millionaire. One day I'll become billionaire. One day I'll get this. One day I'll get that. So this is what the role of Maya is. And like a donkey, Prabhupada explains, the donkey runs after a carrot whole day, and night what happens? The she donkey kicks him on his face. And then the donkey thinks, oh, what a pleasure I'm enjoying. So this is our position. Even though we have been kicked again and again by Maya Devi, but we still think this is a place of enjoyment. There is an analogy I quickly wanted to mention was, it is mentioned, there was a man running, he heard a tiger. He was in the forest and he heard a tiger. And the tiger was chasing him. So the man ran into the forest and then he fell down into the well. You must have heard this pastime before, but I'll just... So man fell down into the well, which was covered with bushes and creepers. So when he was falling into the well, he just caught onto one of the roots on the wall of the well. And he was hanging onto that root. And then when he saw the tiger was upstairs on the top, and he was roaring to eat this man. And there, when he saw down in the well, that well was dried up and there was a python there. And that python was eager to eat that man. So up there was a tiger, down there was a python. And then he saw there were two rats, black and white rat. So this allegory is given to explain the position of jiva in the material world. So there were two rats, one white and black, and they were nibbling on the root which he was hanging onto. So slowly that root was also going to finish off, and it was going to break because the rats were nibbling on that root. So he was going to die for sure, right? Because he cannot go up, there is a tiger, down there is a python. And then he felt something dripping. And that dripping was from a tree on top of the well, and there was a beehive, and the honey was dripping from that beehive. It was dripping on his face. So he pulled out his tongue, and he was taking that honey, he was tasting that honey, and he thought, wow, what a sweet honey. And these bees were also biting him, because when he fell, he disturbed the bees. So these bees were biting him, but still that drop of honey that was falling from the tree, he was feeling pleasure, he was getting pleasure out of it. So this is our position in the material world. So, and it is also explained that one man, a villager, comes and drives away the tiger. And he asks this man, what happened? What are you doing there? And he said, can you please shake the tree so that more honey can fall on my face? So this is our position. we are, so this tiger represents the fate or the energy of the Lord, which is pushing us towards death. The python represents Kala Shakti, the time. The reds, white and black, represents day and night. Again, Kala Shakti. By the every passing day and night, we are going closer to death. And these bees represent all our friends and relatives who are trying to bite us, but we don't realize. And then there is a honey dripping. There is very little honey which or sweetness in this material world which we are trying to think it is the goal of our life. It is such a blissful thing. We are trying to extract bliss from that. And then this person or a villager who came, it's like our spiritual master. And when the spiritual master comes, the man is still thinking, can you please give me some happiness? Instead of asking the man to help him get out, he's saying, can you please help me get some pleasure in this material, in this situation? So this is our position. We have to understand how Maya works. So this is the second part. And the last part I will quickly cover is in Srimad Bhagavatam 11th canto, 11th chapter, first Krishna speaks to Uddhava, where he is saying, Baddho mukta iti vyakta gunato mena vastutaha gunashya maya mulatvan name moksha na bandhana. So Krishna is saying, the Supreme Personality of God has said, my dear Uddhava, due to the influence of the modes of material nature, which is under my control, the living entity is sometimes designated as conditioned and sometimes as liberated. In fact, however, the soul is never really bound up or liberated. And since I am the Lord of Maya, which is the cause of modes of nature, I am also never to be considered liberated or bondage. So really this Maya is illusory. Illusory means we are not liberated or we are not bound into this Maya. It's a perception how we take it. So for devotees, devotee can use the same as an expert electrician, use the same energy of the Lord and be in the spiritual world, be in blissful situation. Whereas they can be, or not the devotees, whereas the materialists, they are in the, they think they are happy but they are suffering actually. They can be in the Mahamaya. Krishna says, Devi Esha Gunamai Mamamaya Duratya. It is very difficult, Duratya. This energy of mine is very difficult too. But what is the second part? Mamaiva e prapatyante maya metam tarantite. So one who surrenders onto me easily overcomes this maya. So Krishna is giving us the root, path, how we can surrender. And there are two principles mentioned. Smratavya sadatam vishnur vishmastravya na jatuchit. So always remember Krishna and never forget him. This is given in Chaitanya Charitamrita as well as Padma Puran. Like if these two principles are followed, rest of the principles does not have any importance. Always remember Krishna and never forget him. And Krishna, how do we do that? How do we practice surrender? So there are six stages of surrender mentioned. Anukulyesha, Anukulyesha Sankalpa, Pratikulyesha Varjanam, Rakshashyati Vishwaso, Gopatratve, Varnam Tatha, Atma Nikshepa Karpanya, Sadvidhi, Sharanagati. So these are the six. Accepting that is whatever is favorable for Krishna's service, devotional service. Rejecting whatever is not favorable for Krishna's service, devotional service. Accepting Krishna as the protector. Accepting Krishna as the maintainer. So these are also two important points. Understanding Krishna is our protector and maintainer, not our bank balance. So accepting Krishna is our protector and maintainer. And then Atma Samarpan, which is surrender, full surrender, and humility, Karpanya, humility. So these are the six ways one can surrender onto the Lord. And Krishna finally mentions, as it was mentioned by Prabhupada in this purport, Mamcha Vicharena Bhakti Yogena Sevata Saguna Samatityaitan Brahmabhuya Kalpate. One who engages in full devotional service, unfailing in all circumstances, at one transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. So Satatam Kirtayantomam Yatantastandaridvata. So one who continuously performs devotional service without stopping in any situation, he can get to the platform of Brahman realization or Bhagavan realization. So I'll stop here. If there are any questions or comments, we can take one. Yes, Prabhu. That question we can answer after the class. But anyways, one thing we have to understand, whatever the workings of the Maya are, this body, it is mentioned by Acharya as this body is the ship to get us out of this, to overcome Maya and to get us out of this material world. So we should look after this body. It's not that we think because Maya, this body is a product of Maya and it's all illusion, so I stop looking after this body, stop working, stop performing all the activities. No, because this body is the means which is awarded to us, and this intelligence is the means that has been awarded to us, and we have been awarded with association of devotees and deities. So we should use this opportunity, because a devotee is one who intelligently uses whatever facilities he has got in the service of the Lord. So that is one of the qualities of a devotee. Anasaktasya vishayan yatharam upayanjata nirbandha krishna sambandhe yukta vairagam uchyate. So whatever, whether it's useful or not, a devotee uses that in the service of the Lord. He has got this intelligence. He acts intelligently in this material world. So as devotees also, we have to use our body and the facilities we have been given in the service of the Lord, and we can easily get out of this material world. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
Jai.